1, beginning with verse 33, page 189 in the Pew Bible. And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan. So Og, king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, back to battle at Edrei. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Do not fear him, for I have delivered him in your hand with all his people and his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelled in Heshbon." So they defeated him, his sons and all his people, until there was no survivor left him, and they took possession of his land.
Thank you. Thank you. Tonight, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. I didn't look in the Pew Bible to see what page that is. Somebody will give me that number. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is tied in with what Ronnie read and also what Jordan spoke about this morning. And as we look at this, well, hopefully I can tie it in with what's going on kind of today's events over in the Middle East and maybe some things yet future. Shannon? 215 in the Pew Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 3, page 215 in your Pew Bible. So, as we look at this, I want you to remember, and I tell my small group class this quite often, Acts 17:11 tells you, don't believe anything I'm going to tell you. Be like the Bereans. Search the Scriptures. They did daily to prove that the Scriptures were correct. And I'm not only talking about me, but I'm talking about anybody you listen to on TV. Whether, you know, nobody that stands up here on a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or Wednesday evening will tell you anything that's what I want to say way out there. But we will say things that you think, I'm not sure that's correct. That's okay. So you need to do your research for yourself. So as we look at this tonight, here in chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, we're going to be talking about an individual that we don't hear much about. Why is he who he is, and what is he about? So there are two major kings that had been dwelt with, Sihon and Og. And we're going to talk about Og tonight. And I want to read this, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to look at a few different things. So verse 1, chapter 3, it says, "Then we turned and went up the road to Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all of his people, to battle at Edrei." I think is how you say that. "And the Lord said to me, 'Do not fear him, for I have delivered him and all his people and his land into your hand, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon.' So the Lord our God also delivered into our hands Og, king of Bashan, with all his people, and we attacked him until he had no survivors remaining. And we took all his cities. At that time, there was not a city which we did not take from them. 60 cities, all the region of Argob, the king of Og and Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls, gates, and bars beside a great many rural towns, and we utterly destroyed them as we did to Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, the women, and children of every city. But all the livestock and the spoil of the cities we took as booty for ourselves. And at that time, we took the land from the hand of the two kings of the Amorites, who were on this side of the Jordan," which he means the east side of the Jordan, from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon. The Sidonians call Hermon Sharon, and the Amorites call it Senir. All the cities of the plain, all Gilead and all Bashan, as far as Sekah and Edra, or however you say that, cities of the kingdom of the king of Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. It was not in Rabbah of the people of Ammon. His bedside goes out of the parentheses there, 9 cubits in length, 4 cubits in width, according to the standard of the cubit. Now, pretty good sized fellow. James, could you put me, can I click on this and bring my slide? There we go. So, down here, right here, this is Arnon River, right there. Mount Hebron is way up here. They're on the east side of the Jordan. They're up back over this way. They haven't crossed over the Jordan yet. Jericho's on this side, but they're over here. And so, this guy, Og, is a big dude. And they were big dudes. Remember back when the 12 spies go in to the land, and they come back and say, we're like mice or grasshoppers, what the correct word is. And they're like, and they're huge. They're big. They're big guys. And they're not joking. They are big guys. Here's one of them. And he's big enough to have a bed that's 13 and a half foot long and 6 foot wide. Now that's a pretty good sized fella. He's not the only one. The whole country is filled with these folks. But this is the first mention of Og, but also in Joshua 12 verse 4 and 13 and 12 verse chapter 13 verse 12, he is referenced as the remnant of the giants. So he's referencing Joshua when you get over there. Giants. Word for giants, one of the words in the Hebrew is Nephilim. It's translated there, giants. I shall talk a little bit about that in a minute. Numbers 13:33 reference him as the descendants of Anak. Anak was a big guy. They were different. They were different people. Giants were widely scattered through Canaan and were known by different names, including Rephaim. Rephaim means the dead ones, the walking dead. Got several references that you can look that up. They were known as the Rephaim, which means terrible ones. That was another name. Some other names for these strange characters was Zizumi, the Eman, and the Anakites. So, what's going on here? Deuteronomy 2, chapters 20 and 21 says the Rephaim were strong and tall like the Anakites. So they're big people. So we see when the 12 guys go scouting and they come back, they're not speaking of something that did not exist. That's why I want to say they existed, they were there. And as we look at this, I've got some pictures I want to show you a little bit later on. Possibly, you have to do your own study. They existed and they were real, is what I want to say here. The Septuagint uses the Greek word gagas, referring to giants, and titans, I think is how you say that. In English, it's a titans, before we get to the word titan, to translate these and other verses. The Jews certainly considered them to be giants. They are described generally as being between 7 and 10 feet tall and called mighty men. You'll see that in your scripture. Where'd it come from? Where'd it come from? Well, here's where it gets. Lots of different views. You have to take and do your own research if you want to really dig into this. I really dug into it this week and I found all kinds of opinions, all kinds of views. I have my own view and I'm going to share what I think. Doesn't necessarily mean it's right, but what I think. Because of some of the meaning of the Hebrew. I'm going to turn back to Genesis 6, verses 1 and 4, if you want to go back there with me. I want to read something. Genesis 6, verse 1 and 4. This has been a controversial chapter in your Bible for years. Lots of different opinions. Verse 1 says, Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. There are daughters of sons of God. That always references something created by God. So most scholars, not all, think that these are fallen angels that fell, came to earth, and had a relationship with women, and these strange characters known as Nephilim were born. And so you have to do your own research on that. There are some other views. Some people think they were the line of Seth, which, you know, you can take that. Seth was born of Eve, so I look at it differently. So the Nephilim were something different. And then in verse 3, it said, "The Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward." Remember that last part of that sentence, that sentence, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, they were the mighty men who were of old and men of renown. So, today, looking here at this, Og, I believe, this guy, his descendants, some of the Amalekites, those folks, Rephaim, Zamzumi, all these names that pop up of these giants go back to that. Now, to say that, we know that Noah took 120 years to build the ark. And we know that Noah was a preacher. And we're going to jump to Matthew in a little bit. But right now I want to just talk about this, because what was going on prior to the flood that made God decide to wipe the slate clean and get rid of everybody except for four men and four women on an ark and those animals? Something was going on. If you go back and read about Noah, it talks about his genealogy being perfect. So I think, my opinion, you don't have to agree, Noah and his sons, his wife, and their sons, his sons' wives, was not part of this corruption that was going on. Whatever was going on prior to the flood was pretty bad. There was a gene pool problem. If you take the stand that you believe the Nephilim are fallen angels. Now somebody said, I mean, the Bible says angels don't have relationships with women. That's what the Bible says. Got to remember, these are fallen angels. They are out to do mischief. For whatever reason, they want to do mischief. Now, why do they want to do that mischief? Now, you don't have to turn with me there, but I'm going to go back here to Genesis, in Genesis 3, chapter 3, and I want to read just a couple of verses here. But Genesis 3:15, we know we're in the garden here. And God is speaking. I'm going to back up to 14. It says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed among all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman." So we know who the serpent is, right? Satan? Is that who's in the garden? The size of the serpent, however you want to look at that. "And between your seed..." Talking about the seed of who? The serpent, and the seed, and her seed, seed of the woman. Like, there's the first of all, we know the seed comes from man, so that is the first mention of a virgin birth, right there. But that's not what I'm talking about. He says, "And between your seed," talking about the serpent's seed, "and the seed of the woman." Seed of the woman. Who comes from the seed of the woman? Jesus Christ. Right? Through the Hebrew people, through the Jewish nation. So, Og and these people are in this land east there. Now, how long have You see, I'm going to say this. I'm going to back up a minute. Whatever was going on prior to the flood, it was evil. Whatever it was. Now, whether you take the Seth line or the fallen angel line, it was so evil that God chose to wipe out the human race except for eight people. We all agree with that. And it was all, the whole earth was covered. So everybody on planet earth at that time, except for eight people that was in the ark, died. So if there was giants in the land prior to that, from this shenanigans going on between fallen angels and women, whatever those characters were could be, we'll look at some of the descriptions here in a little bit. God chose to wipe them out. Did none hang on the side of the ark? Did none get on the ark? So do not watch the movie with Russell Crowe, because they're not watchers. They didn't come from rocks. God wiped them out. So here we got them over here after the flood, after Abraham. They occupied this land on the east side of the Jordan. Now, what's the whole purpose? Satan knows from Genesis 3 that there's going to be enmity between his seed and the seed of the woman. Seed of the woman is a title of Jesus Christ. His seed is the demonic, however you want to look at it, satanic seed, and there's going to always be that. We see that. That's what we're seeing going on in Europe today. I mean, in the Middle East today. So why? The people get carried off in the Exodus. They're in Egypt. Abraham goes down. I mean, not Abraham. Joseph takes his family down to Israel, Egypt. You know the story. They go in as a family. About 70, if I remember right. They come out as a nation. Probably a couple, maybe 2-3 million people. How long are they there for? 400 years. So Satan knows from Genesis 3 that God, he's going to come under attack, but also he's going to attack the seed of the woman. How's he going to do that? First of all, he's going to attack. He knows, it gets to the point, he knows it's from Abraham, the Jewish people. So he knows, and then it gets narrowed down to the line of David. And then it keeps getting narrowed down. So Satan knows where to focus his attack on the Jewish people. So here, on the eastern side of the Jordan, the Jews or the Hebrews have been in Egypt for how many years? 400 years. Satan has had 400 years to set up a minefield. What is his minefield? Giants. He wants to control. He knows that they are normal human beings. So Og is one of those. So for 400 years, Satan has had control of this land, and now it's time for a change. And Satan ain't done yet. To say that, what you're seeing on TV, if you're watching what's going on in the Middle East, Satan is behind every bit of that mess going on over there from Hamas. And I'll show you a little bit more about that in a little bit. So we look at Og here. So let's look a little bit further. Nephilim, they were the hybrid offspring of fallen angels and the women that gave rise to the flood. They were disposed of in the flood and the angels that participated in it. Apparently it occurred again after the flood, chapter 6, verse 4, and also afterwards. That's what we're going to talk about. And apparently after the flood, some of the other fallen angels indulged in some kind of a situation. So these characters that we're talking about, these big dudes, something else happened. Not to the extent it did prior to the flood, but it did happen again after the flood on a smaller scale. You've all heard the story of Goliath. Big dude. I've read this week, he had three brothers. I read he's had four brothers. We don't know. I do know that there's one mention. And so, anyway, big dudes. Alright. He's king of the Amorites. He ruled the, let me back up for a minute. Sihon, I want to talk about him just a minute. He's the king of the Amorites and he ruled the country east of the Jordan from Arnon, which is way south there, down towards the Dead Sea, all the way up. He's down here, all the way up to Jabbok, which I don't see it on this map. Maybe right there. Yeah, right there. So he ruled out about 1,500 square miles. And he was defeated along with his sons and all of his people, smitten with the sword. His walled towns were captured, and the entire country of the Amorites was taken possession of by the Israelites. That's in Numbers 21. That's what Ronnie read. Okay, verse 1 and 2 here in Deuteronomy. Let me go back there. It says, then we turned and went up the road to Bashan, and the king of Bashan came out against us, and all his people to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said to me, do not fear him, for I have delivered him and all his people and his land into your hands, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon. Edrei is the modern day, let's see if I can change a map here. It's up here in Syria. I don't think it's on this map, but it's up in this area. So that's where that takes place. It might be on the next map. No, not. But it is up north here, way up here. Didn't put that map up there. Og, the Amorite king of Bashan, was ruling 60 cities, about 3,000 square miles. That's a lot of property. And Og was of a different race. He was of the remnant of the giants, the Rephaim, before the Amorites came. Deuteronomy 3:13. The Amorites, by intermarriage with the Rephaim, were in the height like that of cedars and strong as oaks. Amos 2, verse 9 says that. They were in height like the cedars, like that of the cedars and strong as oaks. Og's going to perish with all of his people here at Edrei, and Israel will take his land. We see that in Numbers 21. I want you to understand that the region of Bashan is a region associated with these strains going on. It's this whole mess right here, all up through here. Golan Heights, Jordan, all this is part of where they're at. Look who's here. Israel's here. And I'm going to show you another map here in a minute. So they're over here. Joshua, when they go into Jericho, they go westward. So they're conquering the eastern side here. Verse 3, it says, so the Lord our God also delivered into our hands Og, king of Bashan, with all his people, and we attacked him until he had no survivors remaining. God did it. God delivered Og and these big people. It wasn't just him, a bunch of them, into the hands of the Hebrew people as they were fighting. Now, just a few years before that, Joshua and Caleb had seen these guys, and they got a bunch behind them that didn't see them going into that land. Verse 4, and we took all his cities at that time, and there was not a city which we did not take from them. 60 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. The Hebrew or Israeli army, after traversing the smooth pasture land, which is down south here, they get up here and they're going in to where this king's at. And the land suddenly came, they suddenly came upon a marvelous rock barrier called Argob. This is a oval basalt island, about 30 feet high. It's 60 by 20 miles. That's where the cities were at. It was known as the Stony Country in that time. Rising above the plain about 30 feet and from the surrounding Bashan plains, this rocky area, which of 60 cities, was considered impregnable. Compensated by security for their inconvenience, it was this main holdout. So they stayed up there. They up on this plain of 60 miles by 20 miles, that's a bunch of property, and they're 30 feet up so they can look down on anything that's coming. Even though they're big dudes, big people, they still want to protect what belongs to them. But it says there in verse 4, they were defeated. There was not a city which we did not take from them, 60 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. Had Og remained up on that upper area and in his secured walled cities, possibly he could not have been overthrown. But God therefore saw it needful to encourage Israel to in facing such a foe to fear him not. And God sent hornets, which as well as infatuation, drove Og into the open field where he was overthrown. Now, it doesn't say that in the book of Deuteronomy. I was reading that, I thought, okay, where did that come from? Joshua 24, verse 12. Joshua tells us how God delivered Og and his people. It sent the hornet before you. God wanted them out of their safety, out of their buildings, their cities, brought them out in the plains, and they got nailed. And they got nailed by these Hebrew men that had been following Joshua and Caleb. Think about this a minute. As I was studying this, the people that came out of Egypt, what had they been doing for 400 years? The Jewish people, they had been slaves. They were not warriors. We think of how bad they were. Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, let's go for it. But those guys had not been trained. Maybe Moses had trained them some to some point. But they were fearful because the Egyptian army had always protected them from any outside attacks. So now, Joshua and Caleb, they got a new bunch of young guys, and they trained them up. Moses probably did a lot of help with training these guys, and they're fired up. And they go in there, and they're not scared. They're not scared. Let me go up here and show you something else. Let's go back here. Now, Numbers 13:33, and there they saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Here is 6 foot man. Darren, how tall are you? 6'5". Okay, there's Darren. All right, right here is Og. That's 12 foot, and that's 18 foot, so he's somewhere along in here. Pretty good sized fella. Pretty good sized fella. If you want to come up against him, and it's not just him, it's a whole bunch. Now, why are all these other skeletons, all these other dudes up here? Well, here's a Renaissance painting of maybe some idea. Another. We got some pretty tough guys in here. But if you're looking at somebody like this, and there's a whole bunch of them, and they're being run out of their encampment or their place by a bunch of hornets, first of all, they're scared. I'm sure they didn't like bee stings either. So you nail them. Now, put this up here. 6 foot. They have actually found skeletons. This one was found 36 foot tall here over on their far right. An earthquake, I can't read that word, and they go down when they found them, one there in France, 25 and a half foot tall. So these are some skeletons that have been found. So Og was a pretty big guy. So there is evidence. I'll show you some other things here in just a minute. I know I'm running out of time. But they come out, and they nailed them, and they got them. Now verse 5, it says, and all these cities were fortified with high walls, gates, and bars besides the great many rural towns. Pretty good sized place. Just like Sihon, they took advantage of it. The trust of the soldiers is with Joshua and Caleb in the word of God, contrast with their unbelieving forebears. Their unbelieving forebears, those guys back that come out of Egypt, didn't have enough faith. They have passed away in the wilderness, and these guys are trusting God and moving forward. So they're not messing around. God's with them. They're not scared. Let me read verse 6. And we utterly destroy them as we did to Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, the women, and children of every city. What is that? That's genocide. Does that bother you? We've seen that. We didn't see that. Our grandfathers and grandparents did. in Nazi Germany, they tried to wipe out everybody, genocide. They didn't care. It was children and everybody. Here, they wiped out everybody. They were told to wipe out everybody. God said, wipe them out. Get rid of them. And they did. Why? Why wipe out everybody? Go into a city. The evil looking is what those, some of those pictures are. And you see a small baby. You think this child cannot hurt nobody. That child grows up. There's a gene pool problem. Whatever happened prior to the flood, come back and happen again, not as on a large scale, but whatever shenanigans took place then, happen again, and God says, wipe them out. Wipe them out. Now, Saul and David were told to do the same thing, as you read on in your Bible. You go into certain places and you wipe out every man, woman, and child. They did not do it. Some of them didn't. And you know the story of Esther. You know, Haman tried to kill Esther. He was the descendant of one of those groups of people that they were told to wipe out every man, woman, and child. And so God means what He says and says what He means. Wipe them out, take them out. And so today, let me back up here a minute. We'll show you something else here. Today, right here, here is Jerusalem. And here's little Israel. All of this. And this Gaza down here is controlled by people that probably, if we could do it, trace the descendants back to tribes that God told them to wipe out every man, woman, and child. So those people today that, hey, they don't want just the land. They want to exterminate the Jewish people. They want to get rid of them. So you got these folks here shooting into Israel up here. That's going to escalate probably, shooting in. So these people here, possibly, and then I'm not calling names, or just have to trace their heritage back to some of that. Now, let me show you something else. I showed you those pictures. Here, you can find this on the internet. It's some spooky stuff. Is it made up? I don't know. You have to use your own judgment. You know, is it real? I don't know. I think some of it looks pretty obvious that it looks pretty real. Some of it's old. So, did they survive? They didn't survive the flood. They were part of the flood. So when you pull up to the gas station every day and put gas in your car, you're getting some of this that was in the flood, you know, dinosaurs and humans and all that stuff when you pull your car up there. So, I've got to wrap this up. And I'm not done. Okay, let me just move on down through here real quick. Genocide. And then it talks about his bed. Verse 9, the Sidonians call Hermon Sharon, and the Amorites call it Seir, and all the cities of the plain, all Galilee, and all of Ashan, as far as Succoth and Edrei, the cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. So that's all over on the eastern side I showed you there. For only the king, Og the king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants, and indeed his bedstead was an iron. And I told you how big it was. He's a pretty good sized guy. Goliath would have been part of this group later on with David. Many times in the Bible we see how God goes out of His way to demonstrate He is God. We've seen that in what they did there, taking over this land. And so, you know, God was always in control. The areas that the Rephaim were defeated in is still a problem to this day. Let me show you something in here. That is in the Golan Heights. And what that is was a worship place for, it's called Gilead Rephaim, is where the Rephaim would go and worship. And now, you can go online and pull this up, look it up there. They've done some excavating there. This predates the pyramids in Egypt. So they were there. It's big stones there, and it was part of their worship, part of their culture. And there's another place over there I could not find a picture of. So, The areas that the Rephaim were defeated in is still probably to this day, Syria, the Golan Heights. The Gigal Rephaim, that's what that is. It's five circles. Some of the stones weigh as much as 20 tons. It's dated to 3000 BC and it's built on a flat plain, so you have to get up above to see it. And it's 10 miles from Ashtaroth Karnaim, which is in Genesis 14 and Joshua 12. So, I don't have time to go to the book of Matthew. Go to Matthew 24. Jesus talks about like the days of Noah were. So shall the second coming of man be. It's the days of Noah. Are we looking at something to happen in the future? Like pre-Noah. Jesus said it would happen like the days of Noah. And I don't have time to go there today. Am I saying giants are going to start appearing? No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying there's going to be some strange things happening. The book of Revelation says men will see things and their hearts will fail them. So whatever. So strange things happen. God was in control. God's in control now in Israel. What's happening over there? God didn't wake up last Saturday morning and say, whoops, I missed that one. No. He's letting those people, maybe, just like we've seen him in the past, how he used nations to judge nations and how he used Babylon to judge the Jewish nation. Maybe right now it's an eye-opener for Israel in some way, shape, or form. I don't know. But we live in exciting times. We sure do. Sometimes I think the Bible says more about the times we live in than the times that it was written in, if we do your research. So, okay, I need to stop. Let's pray.